In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It seems to me that every Jane Austen novel has a particular cast of characters. There's the supposed friend who looks perfect, but is quite the opposite. Think Lucy Steele in Sense and Sensibility, or George Wickham, of course, in Pride and Prejudice. There's also an older noble who thinks a little too highly of themselves. Think Lady Dalrymple in Persuasion. Then there's the extended family member who inadvertently help our hero and heroine to find true love. Think Mr. Collins in Pride and Prejudice. And always there are siblings. Whether biological siblings or not, each novel features at least one sibling group that includes one person who is sober and thoughtful and deliberate, and another who is impulsive, sometimes foolhardy, and always hopeful. You can just picture Jane and Lydia from Pride and Prejudice, or poor Miss Taylor and Harriet and Emma. Well, Jane Austen could have written the characters for Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Lazarus is the brother. He's the good guy. He develops a close friendship with Jesus, who becomes like a brother to him. Martha is the older sister. She is deliberate. She is careful. She is focused on doing the right thing. She is driven by a sense of duty. That's how she finds meaning and purpose in her world. And then there's Mary, the younger sister, who's a bit of a flibbertigibbet, if I can use that word. She seems disorganized and flighty. She's carried away by her emotions. She does impulsive things. And she trusts that in the end, everything will take care of itself, because it always has for her. Now, in today's gospel, Mary's use of the nard on Jesus is completely in keeping with her character. It's an impulsive act, using this super expensive, very dear substance to rub on Jesus' feet and wipe it off with her hair. And you can just see Judas is saying what everybody must be thinking. Really? That is so wasteful. What a silly thing to do. It'd be like if you were saving a $1,000 bottle of wine for a wedding, and then you brought it to a picnic. Now, you may have heard that Mary's rubbing this aromatic into Jesus' feet is foreshadowing his death, because that sort of imitates what Jewish women would do in their preparations of the dead for burial. But I really think that this action of hers is more than just foreshadowing. I think there's more to it. I think the way that Mary uses the nard is just as important as the fact that she uses it. So, for two reasons. First, the scripture says specifically that she anointed Jesus' feet with the nard. Anointing is a word we use very specifically in the church, as you know, for sacraments, during baptism, confirmation, ordination, and anointing of the sick. All of those rites mark milestones in our personal faith lives, and at each, we are anointed with oil. Mary's anointing Jesus in this situation is therefore sacramental. Second, I don't think she did this act impulsively, but rather with reverence and adoration for God in her midst. By this point in the story, of course, Jesus has already raised Lazarus from the dead. So Mary has seen this. If she had any doubts about who Jesus was, she now knows that he is really the Son of God. And Mary behaves toward him the way anyone would who has met God in the flesh. She is awed and overcome that the Son of Man, God himself, is here in this room with her, and that he already has shown how much he loves her family by bringing her brother back. And so Mary performs a sacrament when she anoints Jesus' feet. And she does so reverently and respectfully. Sacraments are those thin times in the Celtic tradition, those experiences when, according to St. Augustine, outward and visible signs show an inward and spiritual grace, which means that when we participate in a sacrament, we are most susceptible to an interaction with God. We can be as close to God as Mary was to Jesus. So it's only right that we act in the same way she did, holding that space as sacred and holy, being reverent and respectful. For instance, pay careful attention to the way that Patrick moves when he is handling the elements for Eucharist. Always, there is a consciousness that this bread and this wine are more than they appear. During the consecration of the elements, with the intercession of the Holy Spirit, they become more than they were. They stop being simply bread and wine and are made into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In the same way, when Mary uses nard on Jesus' feet and wipes it off with her hair, the nard becomes something more. Her use of it, as well as the way in which she uses it, make this into a holy act. An act of blessing, of joy, of acceptance, of adoration. It becomes an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And Mary offers this valuable commodity with humility and gratitude. She comes to worship literally at Jesus' feet, bringing her very best offering. And she trusts that Jesus will receive it and through the Holy Spirit will make it more than it was. This kind of spiritual alchemy is, I think, what we all do, both here on Sundays and really every day of our lives. We bring to God all that we have, all that is most dear to us, our hearts, our talents, our loved ones, our work, our service. We bring all of these to God, and we offer them with humility and gratitude, trusting that God will receive them and care for them, that God will engage the Holy Spirit to make them more than they are on their own. In fact, God can do that same kind of spiritual alchemy with our very lives if we are willing. God did so with Paul, as we hear in today's epistle. In this reading, Paul talks about the time when he was Saul, before he knew Christ, and says he had everything going for him. He had all the outward trappings of a successful Jewish life. He had education, a great job, social standing, financial security, the respect of his community. And after coming to know Christ, Paul says, he realized that all of these things meant nothing. None of that mattered. We hear that all of these things were lost to Paul when he converted, but he didn't care, because what he received in exchange was far greater and worth far more. In this beautiful passage, we hear that Paul is willing to do anything it takes to become like Jesus, to find salvation. He closes with what is, I think, some of the most poetic language in the New Testament, which is, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Like Mary, who acted on her impulse to anoint Jesus with her most prized possession, like Paul, who walked away from the successful life he had built, without forethought and without regret, I think we sometimes are called to jump in with both feet. So many times in our lives, we are offered a chance to act on impulse, to live boldly, to make the everyday into something special, into something sacramental, we'll say. Do we take that leap? It's true that doing so sometimes will invite judgment. Why would you do something so wasteful? Or will incur anger. How could you possibly walk away from what you've just built in your life? Or it could cause a shake of the head. Can you believe she did that? It may seem like God wants us to be thoughtful and careful with all the gifts we're given. But remember what God did with Mary and Paul. And know that in order to reach a greater good, there are times when God wants us to be bold and fearless, to act first and rationalize later. Yes, there is a time for sober thought and deliberation, but isn't there also a time when each of us needs to put faith in front? Let us pray. Creator of all that is good and true, we thank you for the ability to reflect and reason. We pray that you help us to know when to use those tools and when to let faith light our path to you. Give us strength and stamina for those times as we, like Paul, press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.